3 o'clock hour, Sports Radio 610. It's Area 45 in for the drive today alongside Patrick Creighton. I'm Sean Bajani, Byron Matthews producing, Chris Santiago. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll be back in our normal time slot, 7 to 11, Monday through Friday on Sports Radio 610 every single night. Make sure you catch us if you have not yet. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, we'll get you the day's top stories in the 3 o'clock hour in about 40 minutes with hot leads. And then we'll play some Bandwagon at 5 o'clock. And a lot to get to between now and then. A little bit more on the Astros. We got to get to some NBA playoff conversation, some big things happening in college football, and even some Texans news to pass along and discuss on this day. 713-572-4610. If you'd like to weigh in on any and all of that stuff, hit us up, be a part of the show. You can call. Phone lines are open. We do take phone calls. We also accept text messages where you can talk crap about us and have some fun. Do what you wish on Twitch and YouTube as well. All in good fun.
It's one of those rare times that between 2 and 6 p.m. you can actually call.
Yes.
We'll take your call, and we won't deliberately just do everything in our power to piss you off.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be on purpose. We might make you mad, but it's not going to be on purpose, I don't think.
Well, if we make you mad, we're going to come at you with facts. We're not going to come at you with just haterism.
Because the truth is in here.
Facts! Truth is in here.
All right, so what are you talking about, man? You're looking at Jacob Melton, his stats, limited sample size this year, less than 50 at-bats, very productive. Is that going to be a realistic option for the Astros, and does it have everything to do with, one, Brendan Rodgers and what he's not doing and contributing to this Astros team, or are there other factors, do you think, that are at play here?
That's part of it.
Okay.
Part of it is Brendan Rodgers, who was a Gold Glove winner in the past, guy who, you know, hit for power, didn't hit for a high average, but he hit for power, had a decent on base. He's been a bust. He's been a total bust. And, you know, look, we know Mauricio Dubon's not an everyday player. We're living with Mauricio Dubon essentially as now an everyday player, but he's not an everyday player. We know what Altuve is at second base. And the reality is, outside of Shea Whitcomb, the only other guy that they'd be looking to bring up would be Bryce Matthews. And the reality is Bryce Matthews is not ready. They've kind of rushed Matthews through the system. So last year, Matthews went through four levels. Hit the snot out of the ball in four games in the rookie league, so they moved him up to the Sally League, which is high A. Hit the snot out of the ball there with a 10.03 OPS in 21 games. He had six homers. He had 10 steals. They moved him up to double A. Now, at double A, you got a mixed bag because he hit an 873 OPS, and he hit 252. He had a 376 on base, right? He had nine homers.
Good.
And eight doubles.
Yeah.
He had 16 stolen bases. Struck out 40% of the time.
Mm.
That is the number that stands out because he previously was striking out like under 25%. He got to double A and it bounced to 40.
Yeah, well, stuff's a lot better at double A.
So you know, after 42 games of double A, they moved him to triple A. This is just last year.
Yeah.
Where he hit 143 in a dozen games. And struck out 46% of the time. This year, you look at his numbers, he's hitting 235, but he's got a 372 on base because he's got a really high walk rate.
Good.
He's got a 743 OPS, which is, like, okay. Four homers, two doubles, two triples, 16 stolen bases.
What's the strikeout rate?
Oof. It's high.
Is it worse than 46?
No, but it's like...
I mean, it can't be if his walk rate's increased.
His walk rate has always been good. But his... So he has struck out 47 times in 132 at-bats. That's 35.5%. Still really high.
An improvement.
But he needs to continue to improve in that department. Or all this other stuff, he's going to be a 195 hitter because you strike out 50% of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So Bryce Matthews, there's a lot of potential there. And there's a lot of excitement because of the athleticism, the speed. He's got extra base power. He draws a ton of walks. there's a lot of excitement for Bryce Matthews, who's now 23, but the hit tool isn't where it needs to be.
No, but can the Astros... The Astros, to me, can afford to be patient and allow a guy like that to develop at that level in AAA, because Mauricio Dubon, you say he's not an everyday player, and I can't disagree with that, but when he's been forced into action to play every day, you know, now he's being asked to do that more at second base because Altuve's playing left field. Well, he had his best year 2 years ago when he had to start the season and play every single day at second base when Altuve started the year with a broken thumb. He got it broken the WBC, right? The World Baseball Classic.
Oh, he got hit by a pitch, yeah.
Doobie was great that year. Career year for him.
Yeah, but we're defining great based on...
For him.
For him.
Yeah,
right?
For him. And you right now, the way that he's going is you'll take that. Now,
so, for example, in what we called his career year, he had a 97 OPS plus, 100 is league average. Mm-hmm. So he was still below average. Despite having a career year, he also had a 309 on base.
Yeah, I know it's not great, but
I mean, his career year was, it's pretty good for a nine hitter.
But mind you, he didn't start at second base like that whole season. Altuve came back. When
right,
he started and played every day, those numbers are better.
He primarily played second base, but as he got more playing time, well, the holes in his swing started to get exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made an adjustment late in the year. So we had a good September, but he went through a stretch of it in the summer where, you know, he was not much of a producer. The thing about Doobie is Doobie plays everywhere, right? He does everything with pitch and catch.
Mm-hmm.
And that is his value. His value is he plays every position and he's going to give you a strong at bat. He's not going to strike out. Like if you just need something, like, hey, go up there. Hit and run, put the ball in play, go the other way, you know, hit it through the hole, you know, advance a base runner. Man, Doobie's great for that, but Doobie's not an everyday hitter. And right now, the only guy they have on the roster who's truly an everyday hitter who can play second base is Jose Altuve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a couple of possibilities in
play
here.
They've been working him in more at second base recently.
Number one is Jake Meyers reverts back to being Jake Meyers,
which is likely to happen once the month of May ends.
And if Meyers' bat falls off a cliff like it's done every other year, there's a possibility that if it gets really bad like it was last year where we were sitting under 200 for successive months,
mm-hmm.
that he's going to find his way to the bench because Jacob Melton can play defense just as well as Jake Meyers. Plus,
Chaz. You got Chaz as an option, too.
Chaz seems to be on the outs. Let's just call it what it is.
I know, but you
Chaz
can't rush a guy.
Chaz looks like he's on the outs.
You can't rush a guy up, you know, for the sake of, you know, just Jake showing you what he's been.
There's another other very important part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Melton is a left-handed bat.
Yeah.
Right now, Caratini is the only lefty in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
When Yordan comes back, a lot of Caratini's at bats are going to get eaten up because he can't DH anymore. That's Yordan's spot.
Yeah.
So Yordan DHs, that puts Caratini on the bench 3 out of every 4 days. They need to add another left-handed bat. They know they need to add another left-handed bat. They really need to do it sooner than later, but the reality is the trade market hasn't really developed yet. Too many teams are bunched together and everybody's chasing that last wild card spot. So teams aren't ready to start selling guys off.
Right. Yet. Well, I think for like the Astros, they're still trying to figure out who's who, you know, and are certain things sustainable about particular players.
But none of those guys are left-handed, mm-hmm. and that's their issue. They need another lefty. They've been getting by with two lefties because their two lefties were Yordan and Tucker.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have Kyle Tucker anymore. Now, you don't have anybody anymore.
Yeah, you don't have Yordan right now.
So if Jacob Melton can be another left-handed bat in the lineup on the regular, and then you can go to Caratini, say, every third or fourth day as the catcher, you know, he's probably going to play once every 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get three lefties into the lineup.
Yeah.
Or Caratini is your lefty bat off the bench, because Caratini last year really excelled in the pinch hitting role. A couple of home runs. I mean, and Carrot,
pinch hitting is difficult, and usually young guys struggle pinch hitting when they come off the bench. They haven't been involved in the game. It's harder for them to get in, whereas guys who are veterans, they're kind of more set in their ways. Yeah. They're more comfortable in that situation.
Victor's been very good in that role.
So they have a lefty bat off the bench with Caratini, and you'd get two lefties in the lineup if you had Melton in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're just looking for Melton to see Melton get a little bit more at bats, say another 50, 60 at bats, before they start really looking at him as, okay, are we willing to make a change?
Well, that's going to come in a week and a half.
Part of that change is going to be, are we going to DFA Brendan Rodgers, who can only play second base? He's not playing very well.
Yeah.
Are we going to move Altuve back to second base because the next best player we have who gives us the left-handed bat we need is an outfielder? So whether Jacob Melton is playing center field or Jacob Melton is playing left field, they need to get Jacob Melton to the major leagues because
yeah.
they need a left-handed bat.
Yordan Alvarez, by the way, according to Joe Espada, per report from Brian McTaggart over the weekend, quote, continues to progress. He ran, he hit, he's doing all the baseball activities, waiting for once he feels like he's ready to go, we'll get him in there. Chandler Rome asked a follow-up question of Joe Espada. Is the A's series realistic? And Espada said, I'm not going to box him in like that. We're going to wait until he feels like he's ready to go, but I'm not going to put a specific day or game or anything like that.
So short answer, no.
Yeah, no for the A's series. But mind you, it's been almost 2 weeks now since Joe Espada, you know, hinted at or said literally a few days for Yordan's return. It was not last Tuesday, but the Tuesday before that. He'd said a few days. We hypothesized, you know what, maybe the last day or two of that Rangers series.
Well, you remember when they first put him on the IL. Oh, he's just going to miss the 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
This is typical for the Astros. We know they lie their asses off.
Yeah.
But going back to that left-handed bat thing, they made the decision coming into the year to let Ben Gamel go and keep Zach DiZenzo.
Hardly knew you, Ben. Yeah.
And Gamel was a left-handed bat who, before he got hurt for them, gave them some quality at bats last year.
Yeah.
And you could have had that lefty bat coming off the bench and spot starting, but you got rid of him, and you kept a young player who should be playing every day but isn't. Like, that's the part that didn't make sense to me. Why did you keep DiZenzo if he wasn't going to play every day when Joe specifically said, if a young guy's here, he's got to play every day? They don't have a place for him.
I know, but why does, you know, he says that, but we didn't see that with Pedro Leon last year. We didn't see that with Joey Loperfido last year. We didn't see it with, you know, Zach DiCenzo.
No, and we lost our freaking minds over it because it's like the antithesis of baseball common sense.
Yeah.
If you bring a kid up, you play him. By the way, Pedro Leon finally getting back into the rehab was in the, I guess they had him down at the FCL, Florida League.
Yeah.
And he was smoking baseballs.
Yeah, I believe
now,
it.
It's rookie ball, right? It's Florida League, but
he should be destroying.
It's the first action he's had,
mm-hmm.
and he came out of the gate just blasting baseballs.
I believe it.
So
that guy could play. I don't know if he's going to end up being like a 4A player kind of a guy.
I just want to see him get a chance.
He was killing AAA.
I want to see him get a chance because he crushed it last year. Then when they brought him up, they sat him down. He was ice cold. I mean, he was red hot when they called him up, and then they sat him for a week, and it made no sense.
Yeah.
This regime doesn't look at him the same way because he's a Luno guy. And he got, you know, taken very young, and Luno had said, hey, if this guy was in the draft, he'd be a top five pick, and, you know, we're getting him as a, you know, international free agent.
Yeah.
He's a guy who was a natural center fielder who they tried to convert to being a second baseman and a shortstop because, well, they weren't planning on Georgie leaving. And then, you know, they kind of kept him in that role. And then, you know, Pena made his way through. And then as Pena came up, okay, well, let's let him go back to the outfield where they play him in center. They play him in right. They play him in left. He's got a cannon for an arm.
Yeah.
And he covers the whole world. He's fast as hell. So the issue with Leon,
when he was up here, he played right field, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's got the arm. He can gun it. But the issue with Leon was, the one issue that he has in his game that he was working on last year is not swings and misses at pitches outside the zone. It was swings and misses at pitches inside the zone. He has a high walk rate, but he would strike out on pitches that were in the zone that you're like, okay, you should be hitting that ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has other, you know, where it is the consistency of it, right? So he got better at that last year. And he's a guy who probably would have had a legit shot to make the team had he not hurt his knee at the very beginning of spring training.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. now here he is trying to get his way back. He's probably 3 weeks from a real decision to be made on him and how he's doing. He's obviously going to get some time in Sugar Land on this rehab assignment.
Yeah.
But they've got to then make a decision because that options.
Yeah. Talking about Sugar Land, I wanted to point this out too. I saw this from Astro Future yesterday evening. Brandon Walter, remember who just made the spot start for the Astros?
Yeah, he had a really good start for Sugar Land the other day.
Went six scoreless with seven strikeouts for Sugar Land through obviously the five scoreless for the Astros about six, 7 days ago.
Yeah, that's got to be like 15, 16 consecutive scoreless innings for him.
Yeah, check it out. So four scoreless for Sugar Land on May 15th, what he did for the Astros on the 20th, and then this weekend he had six scoreless. His last three outings, 15 innings pitched, nine hits, no runs, 17 strikeouts.
That is not ass.
Not ass for Brandon Walter. Something tells me we will be seeing him back in an Astros uniform before Spencer Arrighetti is back in an Astros uniform, which you believe Dana Possibly. Brown
Spencer
up the
was
dial.
Just recently, gripping the baseball.
Yeah, but Dana Brown said on the flagship the other day that July might not get him back until sometime in July for Spencer Arrighetti. That's a ways. That's a ways. But that's a whole month.
I thought he broke his non-pitching thumb.
Yeah. No, it was his pitching thumb. It was his pitching thumb. Like, I don't know that there's, like, actual video, but I heard somebody talking about this the other day. Like, you know, how the hell do you do this in the outfield? And the idea was is that maybe he tried to catch the ball that was hit towards his way with his pitching hand, which would be, you know, weird to try to do that with your pitching hand.
Yeah, like, no, you're right. It's his right thumb.
Yeah.
And because it's his right thumb, yeah, you know what? If he's saying July, that's because after you break your thumb, you got to kind of rebuild the strength in your thumb. And for a pitcher,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't get the spin rates that these guys get.
Well, sure, gripping,
if you can't grip the baseball.
That's been the whole thing, you know, a big point
of
contention.
He actually said he never saw the ball that was hit. He got hit by a liner. He said he never saw it. It just hit him right on the thumb.
Like, why couldn't it hit him in the thigh? Why couldn't it hit him in the gut?
Shoulder. It'd be better off getting hit in the nuts than getting hit in the thumb. Because, you know, you get hit in the nuts for 20 minutes, you're on the ground, you get up, you feel okay.
You'd like to think. Unless, you know, there's a hematoma or something that develops down there. And that would be a good situation.
Yeah, you don't want to have a Josias Manzanillo situation where it's like, you know, all of a sudden they're calling you Uniball because you're down one.
713-572-4610.
Craziest thing to me is Manzanillo, who's a pitcher, took a comeback out of the boys
mm-hmm.
and lost one.
So he's got a boy.
When he came back, see, he lost one because he didn't wear a cup. When he came back, did he wear a cup?
No.
No. Like, you didn't learn your lesson, you idiot.
Well, you know, just one's out of the way, and he can hide the other one a little bit better. So it's like, I don't need the cup. I'm good.
I don't know. I grew up playing hockey, so I wore a cup for everything. Hockey, football, baseball, I always wore
I couldn't. I YOLO'd that thing. It was just too uncomfortable for me. I just couldn't do it. Coming up next, the Texans liked their second-round pick so much, they almost decided to do this. We'll explain next. It's Area 45.